The Believer's Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
Luke chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you, and remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, 'The very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. He who hears you hears me, he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him." Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see, and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear, and have not heard it. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, He who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.
Draw me close to you, never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire, no one else will do. Cause nothing else could take your place.
Lesson 54, The Character of Christian Service. In today's lesson, we shall learn about the character of Christian service. We shall see that though there are hardships and rejection, there is greater reward and joy. We shall see how the Lord provides for His servants, and that mistreating them brings judgment. While there is great honor for the Lord's servants, who are privileged to know and serve Christ, proud religious people cannot find eternal life. We shall also learn that our service for the Lord should not hinder our worship of the Lord. In this chapter, we find Jesus sending out his workers to preach. But this time, it is not just the 12 apostles, but 70 of his disciples. He sends them out in pairs to visit the various towns and villages. He asks them to pray for more workers, because there is much work to be done and not enough workers. In the great work of reaching souls, there is always plenty of work to be done. If more Christians are committed to sharing the gospel message, then the kingdom of God will expand all the more. Jesus again tells his disciples to take no extra money, shoes, or bag with them, and to enjoy whatever food is set before them in the house that welcomes them. He was teaching them that the worker is worthy of his wages. As they faithfully served God and preached about the kingdom of God, then they should be glad to receive whatever kindness people provide for their care. These servants were to represent God Himself, and thus, if they were well received, then God's blessing would be upon the house that accepted them and heard them. Those who rejected Christ's disciples were rejecting Christ and His Father. As they shook off the dust from their feet, they testified of God's displeasure and judgment. The reason the judgment would come so severely upon these towns and villages was because they had seen the mighty miracles done by Jesus or by the hand of His apostles, and this divine witness should have led them to repentance. Jesus said if the same privileges had been given to the cities of the past, such as Sodom, Tyre, and Sidon, that they would have repented. All these former cities were judged by God for their wickedness, and those living in Jesus' time were far guiltier for rejecting the Son of God, who came with a message of mercy and miracles to validate his ministry. In serving Christ, his disciples would experience many struggles and rejection, but one day they would be greatly rewarded for their faithful service. There was great honor in serving the Lord for those privileged to see Jesus and his miracles. Even the great prophets of the Old Testament had longed to know and see the Messiah and his ministry, but they were not privileged to live during the time Jesus would come into the world. Not only was it a great honor for these to serve Christ, but it is also a great honor for us today to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. To those who represent him to the world, he promises great reward and joy. While the 70 disciples were rejoicing about the spirits being subject to them and the power they were able to use in Christ's name, Jesus said that they should rather rejoice that their names were written in heaven. It is far greater to be a child bound for heaven than to have miraculous power or be someone great in this world. God is pleased to reveal himself to the simple and sincere, while the proud and wise are not able, with their knowledge and religious effort, to know God. There is such a wonderful privilege in serving the Lord. While many other religious people are trying to earn their way to heaven and yet cannot attain to eternal life, when a lawyer comes to Jesus asking how he might gain eternal life, Jesus points him to the Scriptures. The man understood that the Scriptures taught it was man's responsibility to love God and to love his neighbor. Jesus said that this is what the man should do, and he would live. Jesus said this not because the man was capable, but to test the man's sincerity. In fact, none of us is capable to fulfill the requirements of God's law and love God and man perfectly. This is illustrated in the story of the Good Samaritan, where some religious men pass by a man in desperate need of help, but a Samaritan man is willing to offer as much help as the man needed. The story should have cut into the lawyer's heart, helping him to see that all his religious effort will never make him fit for heaven. Those who are truly God's children are not so because of their religious efforts, but through faith in Jesus. They have been born again and now have the nature of God living within them, so that they act as God would act. When someone possesses God's free gift of eternal life, they are so grateful to be saved, and the Spirit of God living within them fills their heart full of God's love and goodness. This will manifest itself by loving God and loving our neighbors. All the religion in the world cannot change a heart or make someone a child of God. Only those who humbly, sincerely accept Jesus by faith have eternal life. Serving the Lord is a very good thing, and every Christian should find a place where they can serve God. While serving is good, it is not better than worship, and should not take away from the importance of devotion or worship. Martha was concerned and upset that her sister Mary was not busy serving as she was doing, and Jesus had to tell Martha that her service would not be permitted to take away the good part that Mary had chosen, which was sitting by the Lord to learn from him. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Luke chapter 10, verse 20.
Help me find a way. Bring me back to you. You're good.
now for today's Bible question. Today we have been learning about the character of Christian service. We have learned that there is a need to pray for more workers, that the Lord's servant should be honored, and the Lord provides wages for his workers. We also learn that personal power and prestige are not as important as having our names written in heaven, and that though Christian service is good, it should not hinder worship. Someone might ask the question, why does Jesus say it will be more tolerable for some on the day of judgment? When Jesus said that it would be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for those cities that rejected Jesus' messengers, what did he mean? What we learn from this passage in Luke and other similar passages in the Gospels is that in the coming day of God's judgment on the wicked, some will receive a more severe punishment than others. The reason for a greater judgment on some of the cities around Galilee was because Jesus had performed mighty miracles among them, and so they had even greater reason to believe, repent, and follow Christ. Other cities of the past had not been as fortunate to have as much spiritual light as had been given to the people of Galilee during the earthly ministry of Christ. Those who had less spiritual light to respond to are less accountable for their rejection of that light. It is important for all of us to understand this point because it applies to us also. If we have heard the gospel and know the message of the Bible, then God will hold us accountable for that light that he has given to us. Today we are privileged to each hold our own copy of the complete Bible. This was not something the first Christians had. We also have many preachers who've been well trained to teach the Bible and a wealth of books written by godly men over the past centuries. We have the Bible available not only in a variety of languages, but also in several translations to help us better understand it. We also have audio Bibles that we can listen to, and so many ways for us to hear and know God's Word today. This means that we are without excuse, and we shall be held more accountable than all previous generations. If we reject God's message and salvation, when it has been so clearly presented and made so easily available to us, then God will bring upon us the most severe judgment of all. We tend to think that all in the fires of hell shall suffer the same, but this passage would teach us differently, pointing out that even in the lake of fire there will be different degrees of judgment. It is hard to imagine how it will be more tolerable for some when we read how Hades is a place of eternal fire, torment, and darkness. Just as the scriptures teach us that in heaven there are different degrees of reward to believers, it also teaches that there are different degrees of judgment to those who have rejected God's love and mercy. The basis of God's judgment is the works that a person does while living on the earth, and the amount of spiritual light they were privileged to receive. The Bible teaches us that God has given light to every man that comes into the world, and so no one can excuse themselves or say that God has not treated them fairly. Some have been given so many opportunities and still reject God's salvation because they prefer their sin. How often has God pleaded with you to repent, turn from your sins, and trust in Jesus as your Savior? Have you been rejecting Jesus and putting off the decision to become a Christian because you did not think you could live the Christian life? Have you been pretending to be a Christian to make your relatives or family happy? How long will God plead with you? How long will he try to open your eyes and your heart? He has given his light to you in abundance. He has sent you preacher after preacher, but still you are outside and not convinced to trust in Jesus. My friend, today is the day you must hear and respond to the message that God is giving to you. Do not reject Jesus for another day, but turn to him this day and make him your only hope and trust for entering heaven. He loves you, and he wants to save you if you will only take him now. For he says, In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and Evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948. Or, if you have access to the Internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. Jesus saw me when I'm If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, The wages of sin is death, and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says, That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 say, For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any one should boast. If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life. If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation, or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Dear Lord.